Thanks for joining me, Mr. Steve Kirshner, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Communications for UNC. Let's start off with the background of your journey, Steve. There are many key staff members in the Carolina Athletic Department that make things work without a lot of accolades and appreciation. I feel you have to be in the top three considering all the work that you do.
Thank you.
You direct the department's media strategy and all things related to media with the men's basketball program. So why don't you tell us where it all started, where you grew up, and if you ever saw yourself as a sport media leader at a major NCAA Division I university?
Well, I always thought I was going to be the commissioner of baseball, so right off the bat, I'm failing. No. I grew up in sports. The only job I'm very lucky. The only jobs I have ever held in my life have been in sports, and they haven't been many. But I started working at age 10 in Connecticut, where I grew up. The Bristol Red Sox were the AA Eastern League affiliate of the Boston Red Sox, and they were in my hometown. And at age 10, I started as a bat boy. And I worked for the Red Sox for 12 years, right through college. And I did 6 years as a bat boy, and then the team moved over to the next town, New Britain, Connecticut. And I worked there for six more years as clubhouse manager, equipment manager, groundskeeper, packed the bus, made the food for the players, polished the spikes, washed the uniforms, cleaned the bathrooms, did the laundry, prepped the field, you name it. So I did that for 12 years.
Now, did you play baseball?
I not very well. Okay. I grew up playing baseball. I loved baseball. I loved the Red Sox from age three. And my parents said, you know, I learned how to spell by reading the box scores in the paper and spelling Yastrzemski. But I loved to play, but I wasn't very good. And I decided at a young age that I would rather spend all of my time working with the Red Sox than playing Little League or Pony League, things like that. I got to play. I got to go shag balls before, during batting practice, and before, you know, we'd play pepper before the game started. Yes. Out in the outfield. And I got to the point where, as I got older, I used to start hitting fungos to the players during batting practice or occasionally catch. Mm-hmm. I caught Roger Clemens once in a bullpen session.
Wow.
Things like that. It was just, I grew up around. I traveled. My parents let me go at age 12 on a road trip with the Red Sox, an overnight trip. So I grew up in sports. My dad was an umpire. My family at one point, we had my mom, my sister, two aunts, my sister's best friend, my dad, and me all working minor league baseball, whether it was in the concession stand or the public address announcer, scorekeeper, or in my case, you know, bat boy, clubhouse manager. So I grew up around it. When I went to the University of Connecticut, partly I chose UConn because I could continue to work for the Red Sox. It was just 50 minutes away. So I would go to UConn, and then on Friday afternoons, or I would try to schedule my classes so that they would all be Tuesday, Thursday classes. So Friday and Monday I could still be working with the Red Sox. But I chose UConn because it was close and that I could still do both jobs. But when I got to UConn, I was going to be a baseball manager. My dad knew the head coach, Andy Balock, and I thought, sure, I'd go be a manager. And the first day of my freshman year, I showed up at the baseball coach's office, and he said, well, why do you want to do this? You're a manager from April to September. Why do you want to do this now from August to May? He goes, I'm going to send you over to this place called Sports Information. There's a guy there, Tim Tolikin, and he's going to put you to work. And I didn't know what Sports Information was. I didn't have a clue. And I showed up, and the first day I got there, they said, well, we're sort of the media liaison between the athletic department and the media, the outside world. And they said, here, we've never had a media guide for the baseball team. We understand you have a background in baseball. Why don't you put together a media guide? And I said, well, what are my, like, parameters? They said, just go. And it was funny. I always tell people the day I got to UConn, fall of 1984, there was a box in the office, and it was a fax machine.
I remember
and
those.
And it revolutionized, you know, people now with email and everything else, social media, they have no idea how revolutionary it was, a fax machine, because mm-hmm. before fax machines, people would have to write a story, you'd make a copy on the ditto machine, but you'd make a stencil, and then you'd send it, you'd print out releases that way and stuff them in an envelope and mail them, and someone would get them 3 days later. Or you'd put this piece of paper in this machine called a telecopier, and you would push, I think it's 6 minutes and 9 minutes or something like that, but it would take 6 minutes to send a page. And then when the fax machine got there, it was like we didn't know if it was a microwave or what, but it was this big box, and it was the first day I got there, and it really did change the way we communicate. And now for the last 30-plus years, that's all I've worked at UNC. I worked at the University of Florida for 1 year, and I worked at UConn. And those are the only three jobs I've ever held.
Wow, what an incredible story. There's so much in that. Thinking about UConn, my nephew played football for UConn. And then Gino Auriemma, he was my assistant coach when I was at Virginia.
Love Gino.
Yes, great guy. And then just thinking about your experiences with minor league baseball, to this day, I still tell students that's the best way to get in and learn all the different aspects of sport. Because it's so small and you don't have a lot of money, you get to do everything. So
I did. I did everything. I would show up at 9 o'clock in the morning, especially when I was a bat boy. I'd get there right before batting practice. But the 6 years that I was the clubhouse equipment manager, I'd get there at 9 a.m. and I'd stay till midnight, 1 a.m. And I'd have to get all the uniforms washed and the locker room cleaned and all the players' clothes washed and handed out. And then maybe I'd go clean the spikes. I'd go clean the visiting locker room, the umpire's locker room. Then in the afternoon, I'd hang the uniforms up on the net behind the batting behind home plate to let them air dry. And then when the team got there, I had to become the grounds crew because the city left at 4 o'clock. So I had to go out and rake the infield and put the lines down in the batter's box and smooth out the mound and put the tarp on if it rained. If we go on a road trip, I'd have to pack the bus and bring food for the players for post-game. It's not anything like the big meals they have now, but I'd make meals for the guys. And it was an incredible way to grow up because from basically 16 to through 21 or so, I was on my own for 2 weeks out of the month on road trips, traveling with 18 to 25-year-old grown men, a young men. And it was just a great way to experience baseball. I couldn't play. I wasn't good enough to play. And that's, now. I mean, I was never good enough to be a college athlete, but I've been able to kind of stay young at age 50 now through being around Carolina. And Gino, I was a sophomore when Gino got to UConn.
Okay.
And I tell this story. And Gino, I told this story a few years ago at the Wingfoot dinner in New York in 2009. And Gino's telling the truth, folks. When Gino first got to UConn, the women's basketball games were a place to study. They played at the old field house, and there were so few people at the games, you would look up in the stands and you'd see kids studying there because it was so quiet. There was nobody came to the game. There might have been 50 people at a UConn women's basketball game when Gino got there. Now I think they have about 8,000 season ticket holders, and every one of their games is on television in Connecticut, and they've become this 10 or 11 win national championship team, and Gino started all that.
Well, that's an incredible story, and to think that you were running around, hustling, doing all that. And I've watched you from afar. You're still doing that. So it prepared you well for your great, great career at Carolina. So let's take a break here, and we'll be right back to discuss more with Steve Kirshner, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Communications for UNC and Media Director for the Carolina Men's Basketball Program. Listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. We're back with Steve Kirshner, Communications Director for Carolina Athletics. So, Steve, tell me what you like the most about your job today.
Easy, game day. I love being around game day. It doesn't really matter what sport. I work, with men's basketball, and I also am the PR director for the men's golf team. So it doesn't matter whether I'm helping at a football game in the press box, doing internal PA, calling out the down and distance and who carried the ball and for how many yards, things like that. Or if I'm pinch hitting at a lacrosse game, maybe keeping stats at a TV game, something like that. Game day. I can't play. I'm not good enough to play. But I always thought, whether it was when I worked minor league baseball and I'd worked all day, that first pitch at 7 o'clock, when I could look out on the field and the field was in pristine condition and the uniforms were nice and clean and the shoes were shined and everything was in place, I knew I'd done my job. Now it was my time to get out of the way and let the players play and do their jobs. My job now is very similar. If we're playing Duke and it's ESPN and there's a lot of media at the game and the fans are packed the stadium, my job is to kind of help all those things kind of leading up to the game. Maybe it's hosting a press conference the day before a game, or it's meeting with the ESPN announcers to give them a little background on the game, or just facilitating a meeting between the sideline reporter and Joel Berry after practice. All those things, issuing the press credentials, assigning the photographers specific seats, all those things that lead up to the game, some of those things, not all, some of those things I have some hand in. But when it's game time, then I get out of the way. And now it's my job. I can enjoy the game, watch it. But I'm also still prepping for post-game when we're doing interviews, whether it's the coaches in the interview room or the players in the media area. But with social media and with live television and radio, I'm not really done during the game. You know, you see me running around during games. What am I doing? Everybody wants instant information. So Freddie Kiger, the great stats man, sits next to me. I tell people he has the worst seat in America because he has to sit next to me during games. But I tell people, they go, why do you like this job? And I go, do you know where I sit? I mean, look at the scores table. Look at a picture of a Carolina basketball game. Any game. If it's a home game, I'm in the seat right next to the coaches, right on the scores table. If it's an away game, I'm either in that seat keeping the book, or I'm in the middle of center court, whether it's the national championship game or a road game at Duke, whatever. I have a great seat. So number one, that's why I tell people, look where I sit. But I'm constantly giving Freddie Kiger some information, or running down the scores table and writing a poorly almost illegible note to Jones and Eric about, you know, hey, that's Joel Berry's 8th 20-point game, or so-and-so just passed this record, or this is a season high for this. Just little bits of information that I can help add to their story. And when I tell Freddie Kiger something, Freddie is the stats man for ESPN, but he's talking to the TV truck where the graphics people are putting up a note. And he's also talking to John Madry, a stats guy across the way, who sits next to the announcers. And between the three of us, we can communicate to the world some piece of information that may add to the story, because that's what we do. We're the storytelling arm of Carolina Athletics. Whether it's me or all of the great people that work in the athletic communications office, in conjunction with the people in Go Heels Productions, the video crew, the radio network, the marketing team, our job is just to tell. We have 28 teams, 800 kids. Our job is to tell their story and to facilitate the outside world learning their stories. And then during the game, you may see me running up into section 116 behind the student risers, because that's where we have about 60% of our media seats are there. And in the past, I wouldn't really make an effort to go up there all the time. We would hand out notes after the game and say, you know, I do like a 1 to 2 page recap after a game, or I'll call out stats in the press room before Roy walks in. But now, if you look down in section 116, those three rows of media, number one, it's striking that hardly any of them are watching the game, because they're all looking at their phones tweeting, because now they can't wait until after the game just to write a story.
They want to be first.
They have to be first, and they have to be now. They have to be telling people things now. So when I walk up there from my seat and I walk up into 116 and I'm past, I'm telling them little bits of information that they can then tweet out right then. You know, hey, Carolina's on a 15-2 run, and we've hit 5 threes. In the last 4 games, we never hit more than 3 threes, but we've hit 5 already in the first. Trying to tell something that tells the story of the game.
So you're, you know, multitasking, but you're actually watching and enjoying the game, but yet you're also making notes of the great stats that the press and the social media folks need to push out. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. When we get back, we put out what we call game notes before the game, and they can start off maybe around 20 pages before the first game of the season. By the end, by the final four, they are around 90 pages. And that, you'd go, wow, 90 pages. I think Kentucky's were about 250 pages. At some point, too much is too much, I think. But we, when the game ends, like at the final four, you'll say, wow, oh, too bad. I think the Oregon game, we got back to the hotel probably like 11 o'clock or so. Well, I worked till 5:45 that morning to get ready, because that morning we had to go do press conferences and media availabilities.
Yes.
And, you know, ESPN, everybody was going to be talking about the game all day. So we had to provide updated new information. I love doing that. I mean, that to me is kind of like Disney World. You know, I get to, as long as we keep playing, keep winning, I keep to get doing that. And Matt Bowers, who works with me, you know, the two of us, we team up on those things. And we're, you know, he's texting me, hey, don't forget this note about Kennedy. You know, hey, I saw this on ESPN about Kennedy and Bill Walton. You know, put that in the notes. And Adam Lucas and Jones are giving me, you know, hey, don't forget, you know, add this. I came up with a good little piece of information that you can get out. Cool things like, you know, I just kind of stumbled. I was updating the notes after the season and came across this weird note that in Roy's three championship years, the team gave up 141 points in the 2005 Final Four, 141 points in the 2009 Final Four, and 141 points in the 2017 Final Four.
That's amazing.
It's spooky. It's weird. Mm-hmm. And then to think that last year, I thought, okay, well, let's take this one step more. Last year, when we lost on the last shot, we gave up 143.
And it's just
that
is eerie.
You know, and little things like that, people go, why are you wasting your time looking that stuff up? Because it's just, it tells a bit of a story.
Absolutely.
You know, that, you know, to me, and the next step is, well, what does it tell? Well, to me, it tells that Coach Williams has this rep of being an offensive-minded coach who his teams aren't great defensively. Well, to me, I think that's baloney because his three national championships, I think the Tar Heels won because of their defense. And they averaged 70.5 points allowed. And in those six games in the Final Four, five of the six teams shot under 40%. Michigan State shot 40% in the 09 final. So that's proof. That's tangible, factual evidence that says, look, his teams get better defensively, and when they win at the highest level, it's largely because of their defense. And when we can help support things like that through information, that's when I think I'm doing my job.
Well stated. We'll be right back with Steve Kirshner, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Communications for UNC.
Well, right now, there's a bunch of people at ESPN that I kind of feel bad for is because they've lost their jobs. I've been very fortunate to work with some really good people in sports media through the years. Dick Vitale, for all of Dick's bluster and on-air personality, is an absolute sweetheart of a guy. When my father-in-law was dealing with brain cancer, he went on the air and said something really nice about him and gave him a lift. And Dick does that for people all the time, people that he doesn't know, that he doesn't want anything from. Jim Nance is just a wonderful person. He's helped us with the Carolina Basketball Museum. People like that, that you would think that they've gotten so big that they've gotten to, they haven't. And those are people I've been very fortunate through the years to work with. A lot of really good people. Dick Weiss from the New York Daily News and Philadelphia Daily News. People like that, Hall of Fame writers who they enjoy coming to Carolina, but they do because of the people. They loved coming to Carolina to visit with Coach Smith and with Coach Williams. They like our players. And one thing that Carolina fans can really take a lot of pride in is when we go on the road, especially to big events like the Final Four, we hear all the time, or the Maui tournament, we hear all the time people say, wow, your players are really class acts. And I would rather them say that than, hey, your players, boy, they can dunk really well. And that's the most enjoyable part about this team was everybody could get behind this team. These were good kids. The coaching staff, they're good people. They work hard. And to be a Carolina fan, you should take a lot of pride in not just the fact that we won the national championship, but we won the national championship with these kinds of kids and these coaches.
Well stated. If you weren't developing new contacts, covering UNC sport news, or promoting our great athletes, whose job outside of sports would you love to have?
Outside of sports, I always thought maybe about getting being like a spokesperson or something for a political candidate. I thought early on I was going to be either a minister or a lawyer or a sports writer. And
what a mix.
It was a bizarre mix. And then as I grew up, I really wanted to work in baseball. I just because of my background, I thought, sure, I'd spend my entire life working in either minor league or maybe major league baseball. But I always envisioned being a general manager in a minor league team and, you know, coming in and doing everything, because those guys do everything from popping the popcorn to pulling the tarp to you know, running sales and marketing for the team. But I got into college sports information, and I've never left it. And, you know, I always say they're not Supreme Court appointments. You know, there's nothing that guarantees me being here tomorrow, but as long as they will have me, I really enjoy working here.
When it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair watching your favorite team play, if you reflect back on your career, what do you want people to remember you for?
Oh, I want them to remember me for that I stayed out of their way. I'm not the story, and I hope I never am the story. Coach Williams gave me an extraordinary opportunity this year to go up and cut down the net in Phoenix. And that was hard for me to do. That was very uncomfortable, because my job is to tell their story. I don't ever want to be part of the story. And it was very gracious, and it was very cool that he asked me to do that and allowed me and others around the program to do that. But, you know, I just want people to say that, you know, here was someone who, you know, his life's work was to help, you know, get the story out and help people know more about whether it's Carolina basketball, Carolina women's soccer. I mean, Anson helped me get started, and Mia Hamm. And I just want people to know that I worked hard to kind of tell their story.
Well, you've done that very well. Thanks again for spending time today. Steve Kirshner, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Communications for UNC.